If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 3. We're very grateful for each one of you that are here today and want to bring a message this morning that I trust to be a blessing and stir hearts. In John chapter number 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus that's going to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. I've read the story over and over and over and over. I've preached out of it many times. You've probably heard many Sunday school lessons and many messages out of it. But I do believe the Lord wants us to be here this morning, and I believe with all my heart that there's something here that I have missed through the years that I believe will be a blessing. I want to just talk and call the message the new birth this morning, but let's start reading in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born to the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? For the time being, I'm going to leave off the reading right there and pray, and we'll bring the message the Lord has put in our heart. Father, thank you this morning for our church. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that, God, you care about us. And, Lord, you know what we need even before we ask. We thank you, Lord, for the young people that are in our auditorium today and listening in to the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that they would not only listen with their ears, but they would listen with their heart. Lord, I believe that's what the Bible means when it says to give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the churches. Father, I pray today, Lord, thanking you, God, for what you've done this week in our midst, the miracle of the new birth. Thanking you, Lord, Lord, for giving us a place in your kingdom that we might, Lord, have a place, our Lord, to labor for your name's sake. And we pray this morning, God, that you'd clothe us in our calling and make the message, our Lord, that would be a blessing to the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I've just got 5 things I want to talk to you about today, but just by way of introduction here, I guess we could include this with the first thing. There's a personal element involved, and that's what I see here. You say, Preacher, what do you mean personal? It says there was a man. Beloved, listen, that's how people get saved, one at a time. It becomes personal. That's why we call Jesus a personal Savior. You can't go to heaven just because your name's on the roll at Bible Way or any other church. Nicodemus was a very religious man, but there's a personal encounter that happens here with the Lord Jesus. Brother Gale, as many years as I've been preaching, I've never thought about this. But I know that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And I know that up there he says, we know that no man can do these miracles except God be with him. But I've never thought about this fact. If you read in chapter number 2, coming into chapter number 3, Jesus had just been in the temple. Jesus had just overthrown the tables. Jesus had just made a scourge of small cords and driven them out of the temple. He said, You've made my house a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. and you've made it a den of thieves. I'm not going to be dogmatic about what I'm going to say, but I believe that Nicodemus saw in the Lord Jesus, Brother Steve, somebody with a spine, somebody with a backbone, somebody that would not ashamed to stand up and say what's right and what's wrong. And I believe that one of the mistakes we make in trying to minister to young people in our days is we think, well, that kind of preaching would drive them away, or that kind of teaching would drive them away. I believe we ought to teach and preach the whole counsel of God, don't you? I believe everybody ought to know there's a wonderful place called heaven that's prepared for those that have been born again. But there's an awful place called hell. The God of love and grace and peace and mercy is also a God of wrath and judgment, and that the Word of God tells us. Amen. So I see a personal element involved here, how that he came to Jesus by night. I know that in the heart of Nicodemus, there's another place in the Scripture where the Bible talked about that Jesus, he didn't speak as one of the Pharisees, but he spoke as one having authority. And beloved, let me just say this. Whoever you are that's sharing the Word of God, you don't have to share it with apology. You can share it with authority, because it is the Word of the living God. And Jesus, beloved, is, my friend, here with Nicodemus personally. Nicodemus comes to him. Nicodemus is religious. Nicodemus has a great respect for the Lord Jesus. But Nicodemus still has a hole in his heart that only Jesus can fill. Only the new birth can fill. And I believe personally that he got it full. Amen. If you read on in the book of John, how that he was willing to stick up for the Lord, how that he was willing to, my friend, to help with the Lord's burial. Amen. I believe God filled that hole in his heart. Let me ask you something this morning. That hole in your heart, has it been filled? Have you been born again? Can you say, beloved, listen, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I left this world today, heaven would be my home? Then on the authority of the Word of God, you can say that if you've been born again. There's a personal element here. There was a man of the Pharisees and named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Let me just say this morning, I'll move on. Has he ever called your name? Has he ever come by where you are? Has he ever been one-on-one with you? Beloved, let me tell you something right now. It doesn't matter how big the crowd is. When he comes by, you can't hide. Amen. It's a personal. You could be in the middle of a Sunday school class, in the middle of a children's church, in the middle of a church, in the middle of your home. But when the Lord comes by, he singles you out. And he singled me out because he knew the need. There's a personal element involved. And then I see this. There's a promised exception involved. You say, preacher, what is the exception here? Jesus said in verse number 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Beloved, listen, there's only one door to heaven. There's only one way. There's only one Savior. That blood we sang about this morning. There's only one that shed blood that can forgive us for our sin. And his name is Jesus. There's a problem. He said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. God promised that the only way to heaven was through the new birth. There are no exceptions. Amen. And the Bible tells us here that we must be born again. Nicodemus asked a fair question. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? How can a man be born when he's 8? How can a man be born when he's 10? How can a man be born when he's 12? Beloved, listen, we've been blessed around our church in the last couple of years. There's been babies born and babies born and babies born. And to God be the glory for the babies. But thank God for the babies that have been born in Christ. Amen. Those that have been born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, do I go into my mother's womb again? And Jesus says, no. I want to explain it to you. And that's what we'll get into now. It's personal. And it's promised, beloved, that except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's look now at a practical explanation. Jesus is going to get down with Nicodemus where the rubber meets the road. You would be surprised. You say, preacher, there does not need to be an explanation of the new birth. I beg to differ with you, because we're living in a generation, beloved, listen, that thinks if you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do this, then you're going to heaven. We're living in a generation that thinks, well, my grandpa was a preacher, or my dad was a preacher, or so-and-so was a preacher, or I went to church all my life, or even I was baptized, and therefore I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. But Jesus said, except you be born again, my friend, you'll not see the kingdom of God. So watch as he explains here to Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's three basic thoughts right here on the water. As some say, well, the water is the water of the Word. And beloved, listen, if that's what you think, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. Now, if you think it's the water of the baptismal, I'm going to argue with you. Because, beloved, baptism water never washed anybody's sin away. First, I believe what it's talking about here, that when the Bible said here, we must be born of the water and of the Spirit, I think it's talking about a natural birth. The difference between a natural birth and a spiritual birth. And the reason I believe that is read the next verse. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. If you know anything about a natural birth, the water breaks, the baby comes forth, and beloved comes into this world and breathes on its own and eats on its own. And beloved, God has his eye on that little baby even before it gets here. And I thank the Lord for that. But listen, Nicodemus is being told by Jesus, that's not what I'm talking about. You don't need another physical birth. You're not going to have another physical birth. What you need is a spiritual birth. How many has a time in your life when you can say, listen, praise God right there, right then. Listen, you say, preacher, I don't believe you can have a time. You have a birthday, don't you? I got two of them. Amen. I was born on February the 22nd, 1987, the second time. The first time I was born on December 31st, 1959. Write that down somewhere in your Bible in case you want to get me something for my birthday. Amen. Listen, you say, preacher, I don't know the very date. That may be true. And I listen, but do you know where you were? Amen. I like what you said, Brother Thurman. I can take you back to the spot. Amen. Listen, you know whether it was day or evening. You know whether it was a revival or my friend in your home or at the house of God in the altar. You know where you were when you were born again. How in the world could God pick up the sin off of you and the guilt and the shame and you not know it? Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said here, he's going to explain, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Beloved, listen. Not only do we see in this new birth a personal element involved, that there's a promise exception involved, and then there's a practical explanation involved, but the next thing that the Lord showed me here, there is a picturesque example involved. The Lord likes to use pictures. He likes to help us to see things. Listen, the other night, I don't think they're here today. No, the Adams family's not here the other day. How many remembers when I preached the other night on I'm With Her about Aaron and her? One of the little girls sat back there in the corner and she drew a picture of preacher and she drew a picture of herself and she was holding my hand up. She was letting me know I'm with you. Amen. And you say, preacher, a picture. Well, what's the picture here that the Lord paints of the new birth? In verse number 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now you got to go back. This here was not foreign to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was religious.
Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. So what the Lord did is he started with Nicodemus where he was, on a ground, on a playing field where that he could understand. And he drew him a picture. He said, you remember Nicodemus back there in the wilderness? The serpents got to biting the people and the people got to dying. And Moses came to the Lord and Moses said, I tell you what. He said, you take a brazen serpent and you put it on a pole. And he said, you stand in the midst of the camp and you lift up that serpent on that pole. You say, preacher, what in the world has that got to do with the new birth? It has everything to do with the new birth. I'm sure there's people in that day, listen, that said, well, I don't know about all that. I just don't know about all that. But I'll tell you what they did. If they didn't look, they died. And if they did look, they lived. And God is drawing a picture here for Nicodemus. Listen, Jesus is going to be lifted up on an old rugged cross. He's just told him in the previous chapter, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. He didn't understand, but listen, I'm telling you that God is saying, listen, that on an old rugged cross, Jesus died, and those that have been bitten by sin need to look to him in order to live. And beloved, they'll die in their sin if they refuse to look to him. He paints them a picture here. Only need to look. The Bible said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Jesus said, Brother Joe, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I believe that, don't you? There's an example that God uses here. The Lord is going to share with Nicodemus. The Bible said here that whosoever believeth in him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, thank the Lord, he was willing to be lifted up on that old rugged cross so that one day when it's our time to leave this world, we can be lifted up beyond the first heaven, beyond the second heaven, and meet our God in the third heaven, in the abode of God. Amen. Beloved, listen, what a blessing that is. The Bible talks about this picture of salvation, this picture of the new birth. He said, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, preacher, there's got to be more to it than that. I'm going to tell you, there's a world dying without God because somebody's convinced them that there's more to it than Calvary. There's more to it than that old rugged cross. There's more to it than the blood of Jesus. There's more to it than trust in Christ. But beloved, as far as the new birth is concerned, that's exactly what a person must do, is put their faith and their trust. Now, in order to do that, you know, there has to come a time when we're tired of our sin. There has to come a time when in childlike faith, we're not doubting anymore, but we believe that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. And there has to come a time when we swallow our pride and realize that we cannot, but thank God he can. Amen. We cannot deliver ourselves from sin, but the Lord Jesus certainly will if we'll trust him. The Bible said God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the only begotten Son of God. This morning in our auditorium, if someone this morning, whether it would be a young person or an older person, if someone this morning were to just droop over in their seat, we would immediately, I would probably stop what I'm doing immediately. And I have a sister that's a nurse. And there are others maybe that is it a defibrillator? Is that what you call it, hanging over in the hallway? I'd send somebody to get that. I'd holler at my sister. I'd say, anybody that can help, we would stop. Why? Because there would be an urgency. You say, preacher, how does that compare to the spiritual realm? Beloved, listen, the Bible said we're dead in our trespasses and sin. There's an urgency about it. Amen. We must be born again. If we want to make heaven our home, we have to trust Jesus as our Savior. And you say, preacher, I don't know why you would say that, because listen, these young people, and listen, you're not going to hear that in the Kingsport Times. You're not going to hear that on the television. You're not going to hear in most churches that you must be born again. Bring your tithes, bring your offerings, dress up on Sunday, live like hell Monday through Saturday. You'll be all right. Beloved, that's a lie. That's a lie. Religion. You say, preacher, how can you tell the difference between religion and relationship? One way is Sunday and Monday. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you'll have it on Monday just the same as you did on Sunday. You'll have it on Tuesday just the same as you did on Sunday. Amen? And beloved, there's an example here. It's a picturesque example of what the Lord wants us to see. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, just like that, must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm glad, thank the Lord, there came a day in my life when I didn't just look on the inside. The Lord let me look on the inside. He let me see the mess that my life was in. But He let me look up to Calvary. He let me look up to a Savior that loved me and gave Himself for me. He let me, beloved, trust Him, and I was forgiven that night. Let me give you this in closing this morning. There's a personal element involved. Let me say this. There's a reason. Listen to me. There's a reason. I'm going to say this. There's a reason when children are involved, that like in Bible school and other things like that, that age group below the juniors, there's a reason that pastor's not trying to get them to come and trust the Lord and to be saved. I leave it like this with those that are below the junior age. I said, if the Lord comes by and speaks to you about that, talk to your mom, talk to your dad, talk to your Sunday school teacher. He said, preacher, why? Because when you get down in that age, they're liable just to follow one another. It's no longer personal. Somebody's doing it just because somebody else is doing it, just because somebody else is doing it. But when you get up to that junior age, you get up 10, 11, 12 years old, and let me tell you something right now. Ain't nobody doing it because somebody else is doing it. There's an embarrassment involved with it to walk down there at the front and admit that I'm a sinner. And that He says, how many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. Beloved, listen, there was an embarrassment the night I got saved. I had to swallow 6.5 years of church membership. I had to admit, beloved, that I'd never been saved. But oh, thank God, my friend, listen, when the pride went down, the power of God came up. And He saved my soul that night. Amen. He saved me that night. I tell you, I'm concerned, beloved, listen. When young people, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, lying, they know they're lying. Look at stuff they know they're not supposed to look at, know they're looking at it. Listening to stuff. Even, beloved, listen, the age is getting younger and younger and younger and younger. Listen to me, you don't have to believe me. It's a truth. When young people are sexually active in this generation, getting younger and younger and younger. And, beloved friend, you can't tell me that they don't understand that there's something missing in their heart and something missing in their life. And I believe with all of my heart, when God draws that picture for Nicodemus, that ought to draw a picture in every one of us's heart. Jesus was lifted up. Jesus on an old rugged cross. Jesus, the Bible said, His vision so marred more than the form of any man. Isaiah 52. Long about the last verse, before He starts into Isaiah 53. I believe Jesus looked like a piece of meat hanging on a pole. But I believe, listen, He had a voice like none other. I believe when He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you what I believe. I believe Nicodemus is saying, I got in on that. Amen. Thank God for His forgiveness. A picturesque example involved. Watch this now, and I'll close with this. I want you to see a pitiful excuse. A pitiful excuse involved. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You say, preacher, why don't people get saved? It's pitiful, but I'm going to tell you. They love darkness rather than light. Oh, happy day when you get tired of the darkness. Happy day when you get tired of the guilt. Happy day when you get tired of the shame. Happy day when you could care less what anybody else thinks. I just want to be born again. The Word of God said here, they love darkness rather than light, because everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I just tell you, this morning, there's a new birth. It's taught in the Word of God. I'm glad that I've experienced it. You say, preacher, I don't know why you've given your life to the gospel. One reason is God called me. Another reason is when you get something as good as what I've got, you want everybody in the world to have it. Amen. It's salvation by the grace of God. It's an entrance into God's heaven when I leave this world. Beloved, since I've been here these 4 years, we've buried several precious saints of God. You say, preacher, why do you keep going? Because I'm going to keep going right on off to the other side. Amen. There's going to be a reunion, and we're going to be together for all eternity. Why? Because we're somebody? Nope. Because we've been born from above. That's what being born again means. Being born of God. Being born from above. When I was born the first time, I was born from beneath. But when I was born the second time, I was born from above. Someone said this, and you'd have to, I guess, explain, but they said, born once, you die twice. You see, there may be people in this auditorium that's never heard of the second death. 99 out of 100 people that I talked to, Brother Jim Richmond was with me the last time that I spoke to that man, Brother Wayne, when we were out on the visitation. I asked Wayne, have you ever heard of the second death? He said, no, sir. I said, 99 out of 100 people that I talk to don't know what that is, don't know what that means. Beloved, listen, the second death, it's over there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20 in the book of the Revelation. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Beloved, listen, if I didn't have another verse, that right there would keep me from believing a general resurrection. Say amen right there. The saints of God are going to get up and meet the Lord in the air. 7 years later, beloved, we're going to come back with him. He's going to rule and he's going to reign. He's going to put old Slewfoot where he belongs for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be loosed. And he goes throughout the four quarters of the earth and gathers up an army. Still rebellion. Amen. You say, well, how can it be peace for 1,000 years if there's rebellion? Because Jesus rules with a rod of iron. People don't obey because they want to. They obey because they have to. Amen. But listen to me. He's coming. He's coming. What a pitiful excuse. Men love darkness rather than light. Can I ask you this question? What in the world is worth dying going to hell over? What in the world is worth dying and going to hell over? Beloved, listen, it's going to take more than a profession. It's going to take a new birth. Has your life been changed? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Can you go back to a day, a time? Maybe you don't know the date. You don't have to. God does. I'll guarantee you that. If it happened, is there a time where you can say it's different now? Not perfect. None of us are perfect. But you can say it's different now. I thought, Brother Thurman, you did a good job of explaining. Amen. The God that showed mercy in the beginning, shows mercy on the journey. Amen. The Bible said it's new every day. It's new every morning. Have you been born again? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Can you know that you know that you know? Can you say, I know I've been born again? I know that if I slumped over in my seat, if I didn't breathe another breath, that heaven would be my home. I hope you can say that this morning. And if not, I hope something's been said and that you will look. A lot of people make a mistake. They look to the preacher. Preacher can't help you. Or they look to the church. Or they look to turning over a new leaf. They're going to do better now. But I tell you, you need to look to Jesus. If you want to be saved, you got to look to Jesus. You got to look outside of yourself. And you got to look to a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to be in this service. Lord, I know, as well as I know my name, that there are people in this service that need you, that need to be born again. God, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to hearts, help people to understand, Lord, that it's not worth it. Love and darkness rather than light. There's going to be a payday for the darkness. I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts.